This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, my friends, what's going on? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another week here on the Learn Jazz Standards podcast. I'm here to answer your jazz and music questions 5 days a week to help you have more fun than ever playing music. And of course, to improve your jazz playing even faster, right? To reach those goals of playing at the local jam session, of improvising a solo you can be proud of. You fill in the blank, right? I'm here to help you do that and shorten the learning curve for you. Okay, so we have a great question today. This is from Paul Halsinger, and let's give it a listen.
Hey, Brent. This is Paul from Colorado. I've been noticing that a lot of these licks and lines that come out of the program here are resolving on the 3 note and the 5 note of the 1 chord. Is there a reason for that? Do you not want to land your leads and licks on the 1? Because that's usually what I gravitate towards. Thanks.
This is a really good question, and this starts getting really into the nitty-gritty of how great jazz musicians are improvising. The first thing that I want to congratulate Paul on here is, you know, the fact that he's observing, right? Now, I think he's observing specifically in our inner circle materials. But I mean, anyone can start observing this stuff when they are learning solos by ear from jazz musicians they like, or looking at jazz etudes or any of the sort of thing. You can start seeing what the note choices actually are, what's actually happening, right? What makes the chord changes pop out when a really great jazz musician is playing, yet they're still playing very melodically. And so what Paul is observing here is that there's a lot of times these resolutions to strong chord tones, but not necessarily the root of the chord, right? And again, just to kind of like catch everybody up here for a second, when we're talking about building chords, let's talk about in the case of like a 2-5-1 chord progression, right? So over the 2 chord, right, we have root, flat 3-5, flat 7, right? Those are our chord tones. Over top of our 5 chord, we have root, major 3-5, flat 7. And then over top of our 1 chord, we have root, major 3-5, major 7. So being able to play chord tones over top of a chord progression or even on top of songs is really an important fundamental to have some grasp over. And something we do in our inner circle when we do chord tone mapping is voice leading them together. So so that way the voices are connecting to each other rather than starting on the root every single time, which is, we're starting to get into a little bit of the question being asked here. Rather than, right? So what was happening there? Let's start right here. We went up the arpeggio of the minor chord. So root, flat 3-5, flat 7, but instead of starting on the root of the 5 chord, we went a half step down to the nearest chord tone of the next chord, which just so happens to be the 3rd, right? So we went from the 7th of 1 chord to the 3rd. Now, Paul mentioned he noticed that a lot of lines resolve to the 3rds of chords. The reason that is because the 3rd is a particularly, it's probably the strongest chord tone that you can resolve to. It's the one that's really going to make the chord pop out more than any other. Because if you're really looking at the different qualities of chords, right? We got major, and then we got dominant, and then we got minor, then we got half diminished, and we got fully diminished, right? It's the thirds and the sevenths, right? The sevenths are the other strong one, but the thirds and the sevenths are changing over and over and over again. That's why we call those the guide tones, right? The thirds and the sevenths are the guide tones. They're the ones that are like really telling the story of the chord and the quality of the chord that it actually is. So when we're playing this chord tone map here, or 2-5-1, and resolving it to the third, just by playing that third, I can hear the five chord, right? Now, in this particular case, we are resolving to the one if we're voice slating, but we don't have to. We could go boom, just like that, right? Now that's the third of the one chord. So I like that even better. So, right? So we can do that. So that's the first place I would start when we're talking about resolving to important chord tones is pick one, right? And go, let's say every single chord, I'm going to resolve to the third. I'm going to resolve to the third of the next chord. So then do a voice leading chord tone exercise like this and say, okay, here's the third of the five chord. There's the third of the one chord. And go from there and keep building off of that, right? So that's one way. So hopefully we've already covered the reason why you're seeing thirds. And I think he mentioned fifths. So fifths isn't typically a super strong chord tone, but absolutely you can resolve to fifths. And by the way, you can resolve to roots too. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that if you're resolving to roots at all the time, it's going to sound pretty elementary, right? Especially if it's not done in a musical way and it's done more of a like, oh, here, I need to start my line on the root of this chord so that I know what I'm doing, right? Then it's going to sound a little amateur and elementary. So we want to get really good at resolving to thirds and sevenths, and other chord tones like the fifth are good ones to practice trying to resolve to with exercises like this. Other ways we can start practicing doing this is using actual jazz techniques. Like, for example, we can use one called enclosure, right? So what's enclosure? So let's do the same 2-5-1 chord progression here. So enclosure is when you're approaching a target note from above in pitch and below in pitch, or above in pitch and below in pitch. Doesn't matter which direction, right? So let's say our target note, here's our two chord. Our target note is the third, right? Now, what we can do when we're using an enclosure to approach above and below in pitch, we can use either chromatic notes, chromatic meaning notes outside of the scale or the tonal center, or we can use diatonic notes, notes that are actually in the tonal center. So what I'm going to do here is, here's our target note. I'm going to start a half step above it. That's a chromatic note. Then go a half step below, which in this case is a diatonic note, and then arrive there at the third. So it sounds like this. And jazz musicians, especially beboppers, are using this technique all the time, right? Encircling these target notes. Now let's encircle the third of the five chord in the same way. Half step above, which happens to be a diatonic note. Half step below, which happens to be a chromatic note. And then there's our third, our target note, so, right? And now let's do the third of the one chord, right? So let's start a half step above. That's a diatonic note. It's the fourth. And then half step below, chromatic note, arriving to the third, our target note, right? So if we were to play that like an exercise, right? So like this. Okay, not very musical at all, right? But all we're really doing right here is getting used to the idea of resolving to different chord tones using different strategies, right? We could try doing just chromatic approaches into each one. Now, let's do something a little bit more symmetrical. So like, right? So now we're just approaching chromatically to that target node, the third in this case. Again, we could target other ones too as well. Now, ultimately, what is the best way to start getting good at resolving your lines effectively, right? The best way, honestly, is yes, you can do these exercises in theory and chord tone maps and guide tones and all that good stuff. Be aware of all that stuff. Those are great things to do. But ultimately, a really good idea is just simply to learn more jazz language. Learn licks, learn parts of solos, analyze them or don't analyze them, right? But you are playing these lines, you're learning this language, and then you're literally seeing exactly how this is done in a musical way, right? Because like approach tones, like I was just doing, and closures and stuff like that, those are great. It's just that those are exercises. That's not music yet. So understanding those concepts is helpful, but then actually learning licks and lines and being able to play those, see how they feel on your instrument, see how they sound to your ear, and then being able to say to yourself even like, oh, okay, yeah. Kind of like Paul was saying, I noticed that this line resolves to the third. Well, the more you learn those patterns and develop that muscle memory, the more natural that will become to you to be able to do that. You're not necessarily supposed to be thinking about this stuff all the time. You're trying to make it more natural. So learning the language and internalizing it is going to help you. All right, my friends, that's all for today's episode. Remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. Remember that a lot of practice time isn't near as good as just a little bit of really good practice time. Of course, as always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. There's a lot of good episodes coming up this week, and I don't want you to miss any of them. Of course, feel free to share the show with someone that you think would find it helpful. They'll thank you, and so will I. Until next time, see you tomorrow. Cheers. Happy practicing. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask or find the link in today's show notes.